be to the Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord God of heaven, which has made heaven and earth and all that therein is. Glory be to God. Say this with me. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I've come to receive revelation and insight, wisdom and understanding from God's holy word so that I can apply it in my life on an everyday basis. And I fully expect the Holy Spirit to bring to my remembrance the things that I need to know, the things that I need to say, and what I need to do at the exact time I need to know it and do it or to say it. And I thank you for it. For Father God, you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. And I rejoice over it tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, Jesus said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, Matthew's account of it, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked and taketh away that which was sown in his heart. Well, if you don't understand it, somebody will talk you out of it. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the devil or some wicked person. It could be some well-meaning, born-again Christian that just doesn't understand the principles of the Bible and talk you out of it if you don't know why you're doing certain things. So that's why it's so important for us to understand what the Word says and how to apply it in our life. I was telling the pastor, I heard a story about the little boy in Sunday school, you know, and the teacher was telling him about the angel that came down and told Lot, take your wife and flee to the mountains, and he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, take your wife and flee. And said he couldn't do anything until they were gone. Well, and she went on to say that Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And they was all thinking about that for a little bit, and the little boy raised his hand and says, what happened to the flea? And you know, sometimes you can hear accurately what's said and misunderstand what's said altogether. So that's why it's necessary that we have teaching, because, you know, if you've been taught wrong, you're going to believe wrong. And I know if you've been around here, you hadn't been taught wrong, but sometimes you hear things that, you know, they say, well, it gets in you, and it always comes up. And there's one thing I found out about faith is that faith always stops at the question mark. Now turn with your Bibles to Isaiah, the 55th chapter. And let's begin reading with verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. Now, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself saying, because you've heard somebody else say it, well, you know, God's ways are higher than our ways, and our ways are not God's ways, and so on. Well, that is certainly true in one respect, but now notice what he said. He didn't say the born-again believers. He's talking to wicked people here. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now, that makes a difference. If you're not careful, you get the idea, well, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We can't think God's thoughts. Oh, we can if we'll confess His Word. If you confess what God said in His Word about you long enough, you go to thinking like God thinks. And when you go to thinking like God thinks, things are going to change around your household. You begin to see it the way the Word said it instead of the way the devil said it or someone else said it. We live in a negative world. And you know, I've said this many times, but any old dead fish can float downstream. But it takes a live one to go upstream. And you're going to have to make a decision that I'm going to keep positive thoughts. And when we start talking about speaking positive, we're talking about positive faith. People say, well, that's just positive thinking. Well, that's part of it. You get positive in your thinking if you confess what God said over and over and over till it gets on the inside of you. Remember what Paul said in Romans 10? The Word is nigh you. What Word? Word of promise. It is in your mouth and in your heart. First, it's in your mouth. Then it gets in your heart. Because in the same chapter there in Romans 10, verse 17, he says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you link those two verses together, it seems to indicate that he's saying you're hearing yourself, quote, speak and say what God said in His Word. And faith cometh. And it comes more quickly. Let's say it that way. It comes more quickly and more profoundly if you hear yourself giving voice to what God said in His Word about you. Because you will believe more quickly what you say than what anyone else says. But I wanted to point that out because, you know, I remember something Brother Hagin said years ago. He said, some folks are just like concrete. They're thoroughly mixed up and firmly set. And sometimes it takes the teaching of the Word over and over until they catch it. And I know this. My wife said some things that I was teaching a few years ago. She said, I heard that 7 or 8 times before I ever really caught it and got it into my spirit. So you have to hear it. Faith come up by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Now notice he goes on to say, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And he's talking about the wicked. The wicked don't have thoughts like God has. Now look at verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and snow from heaven, returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Now, Father, as we approach Your Word tonight, we submit to the anointing of God that abides within me to minister the Word of God accurately as You've revealed it to my spirit. And I submit to that Word and proclaim that the Word of God shall have free course in this place. And the Spirit of wisdom and revelation shall flow unhindered here by any force of the evil one. And the revelation of Your Word shall change lives tonight. And we give You the praise, the honor, and the glory for all that shall be accomplished in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Now notice what verse 10 says. For as the rain and snow cometh down, and the snow from heaven, returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud. Now what does that mean? It forces the earth to produce. It has no choice. Now take, for instance, out in the great southwest, out in the desert, if you've been out in the around Phoenix, and where they have water that's all green. But you get out there in the just dry desert, there's nothing green in the dry part of the year, but there's a monsoon season. I think it starts about now and runs for some time, and they get a lot of rain. Now, there's good seed in the desert. Those seed, some of them have been there thousands of years. But you know, certain kinds of grass seed and weed seed and flower seed will lay there in the desert and for years and years. They have to be so close to the top of the ground in farming, and we found out that a grass seed must be within 1/8 of an inch of the top of the ground before it will sprout and come up. So that seed can lay there for years, but there's not enough moisture to cause it to come up, sprout and come up. But you let it come a flood of rain out there during the monsoon season, and just a few days that green stuff comes up all over there. It forces it to produce. It has no choice. That seed is there. The DNA is in that seed, and it gives life to the seed. Now, some people, they know what the Word says, but they don't have enough understanding of the Word to get it to produce in their lives. They know what it said, but when you get an understanding of it and understand why you're doing certain things and how to water the seed by the washing of the water of the Word, you know, Jesus said, now you're clean through the Word that I've spoken to you. Water is a type of cleansing, and God's Word will cleanse you. And then Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Well, how did Apollos water? He came along, preached the same thing that Paul did, said it a little different way, and it watered that seed that was there. They didn't have quite enough understanding of it. They finally got enough understanding of it, and it produced something. So it'll rain on your desert when you get a revelation of the Word and begin to put it into effect. So he said, he will give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He'll give you seed to sow. A seed has dominion over the saw. The saw never has dominion over the seed. The saw doesn't decide what to raise. The seed is the dominion factor. Now, if you take this into consideration when you study the parable of the sower, now there's a lot of things we would like to say tonight but won't have time to, but we'll mention some of these and you can study them on your own. The parable of the sower soweth the Word. So we know in that parable, the seed is the Word of God. So God furnishes seed for the sower. You sow the Word of God. How do you sow it? By saying it. In Luke 17, verses 5 and 6, the Lord said, if you had faith as a seed, a mustard seed, you would say. That tells you something. If you had faith as a seed, the way you plant it is by saying it. Matthew 13, he said, the kingdom of God is if a man cast a seed into the ground, or an individual. He's the one that does the planting, not God. God furnishes the seed. He furnishes the Word. The DNA is in the seed. He gave you the seed for what you need. But what are you going to say about it? Are you going to plant the seed? Or are you just going to keep it in a sack in the barn or in this book and just confess over the seed and not plant it? Now, see, when I was farming, we'd buy our seed, put them under the shed, so we'd have them at planting time, so we didn't have to go haul them out there. But you know, I could confess over the cotton seed, a good cotton crop, lay my hands on them, pray over them, confess over them until I wore the sack off the seed. But until I plant them, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Now, I mentioned this morning, I'll mention it again tonight, that the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, he said, the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead. Now, just a quick reference to that. There's God the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, three in one. And man was created in the image of God, His likeness. So here is how He reveals the Godhead. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. Jesus was a physical manifestation of God upon the earth. The Word took upon Himself flesh. He relates to the physical body. And then the Holy Spirit is spoken of through the Scripture as teacher and guide. The soul of man is composed of his will, his mind, and emotions. That's essentially the guidance system. So here you have a perfect example of things that are made revealing the invisible things of God, the eternal power and the Godhead. And God is a spirit, so He relates to the spirit of man. You can't contact God with your physical body. He's here, but you can't contact God with your physical body. You contact God with your spirit. He is a spirit. And God's spirit beareth witness with our spirit. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Holy Spirit is the guidance system of the Christian, should be. And so He's spoken through all the Scriptures as teacher and guide. So here you have something that the Apostle Paul said that reveals how that he reveals the Trinity right there. Man is created in the image and likeness of God. And God created the earth. Well, God made the earth. Then it reveals the invisible things of God. You plant a seed and it demands of the soil. The soil has no choice but to produce what you planted. Whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. It'll produce. Now, I have a farm in England, Arkansas, and when I was raising cotton on it, I sprayed it with Malachi 3:11. With words. I'd read the words in my cotton patch. You won't cast your fruit before it's seasoned. My wife said one time, what if somebody sees you out there talking to that cotton? And my cotton, I can talk to it if I want to. But now suppose that somebody comes out there, now I've got a good Christian farm. What if somebody sits in there at night and plants marijuana on the backside of the farm? Is that soil going to say, no, we're not going to raise marijuana. We're good Christian farms. Has no choice. The seed determines what is raised. I want to pause there just a minute and let you think about this. People will say things like, well, yeah, I know, I really didn't mean that, but God knew what I meant. Tickled me to death, laughed, I thought I'd die, die to go, gonna die if I don't. Folks, you're planting the wrong seed. And the reason I know that, I did it for years. Tickled me to death, laughed, I thought I'd die. That's not scriptural talk. Proverbs says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Anybody in here taking medicine to die? Maybe not. Just say you went to the doctor. I've always said it this way. If you need a doctor, go to a doctor. Medicine won't heal you. Won't keep you from getting healed. But it'll hold down the symptoms while you're believing for your healing. God created the body to heal itself. Everything being normal. But sometimes there's chemical imbalance in the body or certain things that will aid healing, but healing is from God. And, sometimes you hear people say, they pray for people and say, Lord, if it be thy will, heal brother so-and-so. You don't pray over me like that. Forget the prayer. Take me to the doctor quick. At least the doctor knows it's God's will for me to be healed. And there's no faith in that prayer. Because if you don't know the will of God, you can't pray the prayer of faith. But anyway, if you had a prescription filled and you went home and you read the label, said take 3 of these a day until they kill you, what would you do with it? Flush it down the commode or something. You're going to get rid of it. You're not going to do that. But then, we sow all kinds of seed. Oh, well, I really didn't mean that. You tell the ground that when you plant cuckleburrs in your garden. Oh, I really wanted radishes and tomatoes. Guess what? You're going to get cuckleburrs. You're going to get Johnson grape. Then some folks say, I'm just leaving it all up to God. If it's God's will, why, I'll be prosperous. If it's not, I'll just suffer poverty. I can tell you where you're going to be. You will be in lack. It's not God's responsibility. It's your responsibility to activate the Word of God, proclaim the Word, speak the Word, sow the seed, and it will produce. He furnishes seed for the sower. The Word of God is a seed. It's the seed for what you need. The way you sow it is by saying it. If you had faith as a seed, turn to it there in Luke, the 17th chapter. In Luke 17, verse 3, it says, Jesus speaking, said, take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now listen, 7 times in 1 day. And the apostles said, not the disciples, the apostles. They said, Lord, increase our faith. At least they knew they had to do this in faith. You don't want to forgive a guy that's done the same thing 7 times in one day. You want to bust his lip about the second time. But now notice, Jesus said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, that's a black mulberry tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now the Greek says it different than that. If you have an amplified Bible, it says you could say, and it would, stronger word, would obey you. Now who's it going to obey? Is it going to obey God? No, it's going to obey you. That's what he said. Now take that with what Mark 11:23 says. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, to the problem area. That's what he's talking about here. This sycamine tree here represents unforgiveness. He tells you how to get rid of it. Say to it, you never hinder me again as long as I live. You hear me say it, I can have what I say. Because if I believe and doubt not in a heart and believe what I'm saying will come to pass, I'll have what I say. And I say, I forgive them. I may not want to forgive them. May wish to God didn't have to forgive them. I see in the Word I can't be forgiven unless I do forgive. So I make a decision. I forgive. You hear me saying it. And I'm going to say it in the mirror and look myself in the face until I forgive. He tells you how to get rid of it. Say to it, you'll never hinder me again. Now notice, plucked up by the root, planted in the sea. Not just thrown in the sea. You throw it in the sea, it's going to wash right back up on the shore. You're going to deal with it again. But if it takes root in the sea, you'll never see it again. He tells you how to get rid of unforgiveness. It'll work on anything. It'll work on mountains. It'll work on whatever. Inanimate objects. Jesus proved that. But so many people think, oh, now this just works on spiritual things. But over the past 35 years, I suppose I have seen as much or more manifestation of the power of God and the Word of God in business deals and financial situations as I have in spiritual things. And we've missed that. We've let it slip from us. These things are Bible principles. It's a principle of calling things that are not as though they were. You know what a farmer doing when he's planting cotton? He's calling for what he doesn't have. He only has the seed. That's the seed for what he needs. And he plants it. And it makes a demand on the soil and says, find all the nutrients that will produce cotton and all the elements of the soil. It has no choice. It has to respond to the demand of that seed. That's the way God created it. And then Jesus came along and told the parable of the sower. And he said, the heart of man is the soil. And the Word of God is the seed. And the way you plant it is by saying it. If you had faith as a seed, you would say. Sometimes people say, well, you're not going to catch me talking to the tree or to the problem area. I just don't talk to mountains. I just believe that's a bunch of foolishness. Well, there's no mountains going to be moved either. But the people that say that, they talk to the mountain all the time. But they're saying, the mountain's getting bigger. Dear God, I'll never get out of debt, be in debt the rest of my life. I'll never get over this. They're operating the principle in reverse. And the more they say it, the more they believe it, the more they believe it, the more they say it. Now let me give you an example. I remember Oral Roberts told me this years ago. He said, don't ever quit using illustrations because they're windows that people see through. They can understand. When I was farming, I farmed for several years after I got out. I farmed last year in high school. Never knew what it was to make a bad crop. I was positive, you know. I just believed God, and I was born again at age 13, and I always made good crops. Until I got in a business deal with a fella and it was, well, actually what I did, I put out a fleece before God and, you know, like Gideon did. Well, Gideon didn't have the Holy Spirit, but we do. And all the fleece turned out just right, you know, and I really got fleeced. And I lost a lot of money in that deal and it turned negative. And started saying things like, doesn't matter what I do, it won't work out anyway. You watch and see. Now I'm prophesying my defeat. You watch and see. I'll plant my cotton deep and it'll turn cold and rain. Or if I plant it shallow, it'll turn off dry and it won't come up. You watch and see. And I thoroughly believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. That's the reason I'm saying it. And Jesus said, he shall have whatsoever he saith, if he believe and doubt not his heart. And so after that business deal, I went back into farming. I had sold a small farm I bought and went into business with this fellow. He didn't do business like I did, and I didn't know some things that I found out later. But anyway, I lost a lot of money on the deal. And you know, unforgiveness could have fouled up my life over that deal. But I made a decision. I said, I'm going to give him the money that I've lost in this deal and believe for a return. I'm not going to hold it against him. That's just the way that he believed. That's just the way he did business. It was my fault for putting out a fleece, you know. What I did, I talked myself into it. Now, the Word says it's in your mouth and in your heart. I talked about this business deal until it got in my heart, and I felt led by my spirit, not God's spirit, to go into business with this fellow. And see, because it came from my spirit, I thought it was the Holy Spirit leading me. And then when it turned out bad, you know, the devil tries to tell you, see there, God just ruined your finances. He led you into this, and he's just taking your finances away. When desire cometh, it's the tree of life. The Scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord. If you do that, you delight yourself in His Word. And He will give you the desires of your heart. 2 Peter chapter 1 says that God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
If you would like a copy of the program you have seen today,